inspired some to use their talents that he has given them to praise his name. He was known as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Absolutely, he was born. He had to come to this world. He was born to die for his people. Beautiful song. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you very much. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel?
No.
I have a question for you. Do we not have concern for our loved ones who know not this Lord, this one who is Lord over all creation? Are not our hearts filled with a desire to share our love for this one who first loved us? Do we not ask, Lord, how can I bring this one whom I love to love and know you as I do? Folks, joy bring. I just get swelled up with joy in my heart when I think somebody is starting to learn for the first time about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I got all excited about a young man one of my customers, that showed a small interest in what the true and living God is and who that God is, what he's done in this world. And the more I speak with the young man, the more he pushes back to the point now where we don't even want to talk about it anymore together. Joy fills my heart when I get a glimpse of one who is coming to the true and living God, just as joy fills my heart every time when God's people come together to worship. I love Friday night Bible studies. It's not because we're diving into the Word, not just because we're diving into the Word and taking a close look at things, but I'm sitting down and having fellowship with brothers and sisters who love God. Love the true and living God. We come together this morning. There's 1,000 churches within 2 miles of this place. Well, maybe that's a little bit exaggeration. I know it's that way back in the Belt. Bible Belt area, but around here there's at least 50 churches around here that are close by. Why do you folks come here? Why is it that God's people will travel through the snow over the mountain from Tahoe every Sunday to this little place here in the woods? Why is it that God's people will drive all the way from Sacramento, all the way from Grass Valley at times, all the way from, where you live up there, Mike? Garden Valley, somewhere way out in the hills. You and Daryl both, you mountain men. Yet they come all the way here. Why? The Lord draws you here. The Lord has something being spoke of right here in Rescue that God's people like to hear. It's called the gospel. Mike Loveless and I were speaking about our grown children and their lack of concern for their souls. And the question came up after our Friday night Bible study: how can I bring my child to Christ? That'll be my title this morning: bringing one to Christ. You see, we must be brought to the Lord, because the natural man will not come unto the Son. It says that in Romans 3:11. Let me read that for you. It says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's the Lord's word. It's not mine. It's not my interpretation of it. It's not man's interpretation. That is God's word. There are none that seeketh after God. In our natural state, we will not come looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. None will. Something had to be done to bring us under the preaching of His gospel. Something had to be done to bring God's people to them, because we all are born in this world with a black, stony heart. A heart that says we will not have that one to rule over us. None come into this world walking in spiritual truths. All are lame, unable to walk at all. They have no legs. Not just lame, but they're dead spiritually speaking. They're dead in trespasses and sin. I mentioned earlier that we look back on that dark, that deep pit that we've all come from. We all know where we came from. We see the grace of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ because we know what we deserve. And we see the mercy of our Savior because we know that if it wasn't for His mercy, we would get what we deserve. We're just like the rest of the world, folks. The only difference is God has loved a people before the foundation of the world. That's great news to me.
Yes.
I love to hear that because that's the only reason I will live is because of my Savior. I know. This young man that I just said a moment ago, this young child, and I am so thankful. Don't you worry nothing about him. You let him, well, don't let him get too out crazy, but I am so thankful that you are here both today with him. I can overtalk him. I'm not worried about it. Some preachers, they don't want to have children who disrupt things. But I can talk louder than Larson can. I know that we like to see our children as innocent. And it's tough to look at that little blonde boy and not think, oh, how innocent. But truth reveals it. It reveals itself as they get older, does it not? Those of us who have grown children must agree with that. Scriptures tell us this. And if you deny this, then you deny God. For this is the word of God. We come from our mother's womb speaking lies. And I know for a fact that's true because I know who I am and I know what I am. Folks, as all who are born of Adam would not, will not come to the light, for the light reveals the wickedness of the dark. If you walk into a room, and how many times have we heard this? We've heard this a lot of times, right? But it goes bare to be, it bears repeating. You walk into a room and it's totally dark. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. You turn the light on and there's all that stuff in there. What's the light of Jesus Christ when He comes in? All the darkness is exposed of what we were and what we deserve.
No.
You walk into a room, you turn the light on, and you see the things that are there. Christ is the light of the world. And we are the wickedness of the earth. And we don't want to come to the light because it reveals us for what we are. One must be brought to the Lord. But how? How can one be brought to the Lord? Lord, how can I bring? How can I bring my son? I know he's grown now. How can I bring my son to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? How can we bring those that we love so close to us to know this love that God has for His people, as you and I know? Right here, 2 Samuel. Uh-oh. Where was I? Man, that's twice I've done that today, isn't it? Chapter 9. Sorry about that. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. Let's begin looking at verse 1. And let's look at what our Lord gives us as an example. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now notice, for whom the king shows mercy. Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? David is not showing mercy or kindness for that person's sake. No, he's showing mercy and kindness for another's. Are we getting a picture here? God the Father shows mercy to His people for His Son's sake. Not because of anything we have done. Not because of anything that we could do. Not because of anything that we will do. But for Jesus' sake. For Christ's sake, our Lord has mercy on us. There's no righteousness in us that God can look on and say, well, if I flame a little bit there, maybe that'll be... That's a bunch of hogwash. There's nothing in us. Our righteousness before God is as filthy rags. And I don't need to explain what filthy rags mean in scriptures, do I? God the Father shows mercy for the sake of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:3 we read, blessed be God the Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our heavenly Joseph, the keeper of all the storehouse of blessings, has the key to God's mercy and grace. In fact, He is the key. Just as He is the altar for sacrifice, He is also the sacrifice. We come not by any other way but through Him. John 14:6 it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any yet of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Notice what it said there. We're talking about how can we bring one to Christ. What can I do to bring my child? What can I do to bring my loved one to Christ? It takes more than me. It took somebody with power to bring John Reeves to the Lord Jesus Christ. My mom had tried for years. Son, come to church with me. Mom, what do you want for Christmas this year? Son, come to church with me. Don't worry about it, Mom. I got my own relationship with God. It takes more than the power that you or I have to bring anyone to Christ. It takes the power of a king. It takes the power of a Lord to turn the hearts of men to where they'll come to the Lord and say, God Almighty. The king sent and fetched someone, was sent. And this one for whom the king would show mercy was fetched. The word fetched is not a word that implies, go over there and ask them if they'll come, will you? No. It means this. It means go get him and bring him to me. It was a command. It was commanded, fetch him. This is a command that comes with power. It comes from the word of a king. Our great Lord spoke the word of authority and the word of the king and the word of power. And when he called forth Lazarus, what happened? That's exactly right. The dead came forth, so much so that he was still wrapped in his clothes. Can you picture that? He asked somebody to move the stone for him. He asked men to go over and roll that stone out of the way. And then standing however far he was, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, still wrapped in his dead clothes, in his burial clothes, came forth. He couldn't walk, his feet are wrapped. What an amazing sight that must have been. But that's the power of a king. He who has true authority, not some wimpy king who's waiting for somebody to do something for him. Go get him. Go get her. Go get that one. That one's mine. In Matthew 28:18, we read this, and Jesus came and he spake unto them, and he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." God the Father has made his Son Lord of all. So how does this word come to those whom he calls? Turn over with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Open your book to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Set it down there in your lap, and we'll talk from there for the rest of this morning's time. And while you're turning there, allow me to read this for you. God sends someone to fetch his chosen people, and he does it by sending his preachers to preach the gospel. In the 10th chapter of Romans, we've read this many times, where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" How are you going to believe in somebody you've never heard about? I'm telling you, folks, if you're down the street in one of these free will churches that preach at your free will, they're not preaching about the true and living Christ. And you're not going to hear about the true God listening to those people talk. Only from God's true preachers. And there's many of them around. I'm not trying to say this is the only place. And I know there's some who say, "Well, you people down there in Rescue, you think you're all by yourself in the world." No, there are people over in Marysville who have a preacher who preaches the truth. There are people down in San Diego who have a preacher preaching the truth. There are people all over Kentucky, Tennessee, the Dalles, Oregon, who have preachers who preach the truth. God sends his preachers. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe? How are you going to believe in somebody you've never heard of? How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? The verses right before what I've just read were also discussed in Friday night's Bible study. We had guests. I was really hoping they would be here this morning. They were quite concerned about what they've been hearing in the churches around us. And he asked the question, what am I supposed to say to my children? And he brought this up in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 9, the verse that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord is Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The key to that is if thou shalt and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The key to that is that you can't put that before the cart. We cannot put the cart before the horse. God must do the work in the heart. The heart of stone must be removed. Life must be given to a dead one. We must be born again. These are words of God, folks. These are not mine. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Not our gift to God, but God's gift to us. To believe. Once we have those gifts, once the Lord has moved into the heart of one of his chosen and given that person life, then they confess with their mouth that the Lord Jesus, and then they shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised them from the dead, and they shall be saved. We do not decide that we shall believe. We don't don't just walk into a church someday, you know what, I've been walking around doing this other stuff all my life, I'm done with that, I need to start believing. That's not the way it works. In Ephesians 2:8 it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Here in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, we see a wonderful picture of the Lord sending out a preacher. One that He is sending, go fetch, go here, commanding this preacher to go and do this, to preach to dead bones. Oh, can I relate to this? The hand of the Lord was upon me, verse 1, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Folks, you've read the 23rd Psalm, right? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death every day. Our flesh walks through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow of the death to come for some. And those of us who will live forever because of what our Lord and Savior has done, we have to walk through that valley still. A preacher was sent to that valley. Have you ever noticed that this is kind of like a little valley right here? Pastor Gene Harmon was sent here almost 40 years ago to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what he preached every Sunday. I asked you earlier, why do you keep coming here? It's the same story every Sunday. I've been coming here 20 years and I've heard the same story every Sunday. We go to different verses in Scripture. We look throughout God's Word. We expound the things of Christ in this book. But it's always about Him. It's a hymnal about Him. We walk through the valley, the shadow of death. All around us is death in this world. It's cursed. The very ground that we walk on is cursed and will be burned up in the end. But have you noticed something? It's no more than a shadow of death. Eternal damnation is the real death. Our Lord says in John chapter 11, verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? I believe. Just as that man whose son was to be healed, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Yes.
Who are the whosoever? If all are dead, then how can any believe? Our Lord tells us with men, this is impossible. But all things are possible with God. Read on, verse 2. "And cause me," the preacher who was sent, "caused," and the Lord, "caused me to pass by them round about the valley of dry bones. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Now I've heard, as I can best recall, that this word, which is translated very dry, that's actually one word in the Greek, it actually means more than that even. It means parched. It means brittle. Not one molecule. They can't go in there and take any DNA out of these bones. They're so dry, there is nothing there. Not one molecule of moisture can be found. One preacher calls it this. I believe it was Henry Mahan who said it was dead, dead.
Graveyard dead.
Dead, dead. That's got to be pretty dead. Read on, verse 3. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How can I bring my loved ones to this God that I love so much? This God who loves me so much that he would send his son to be my sacrifice. Hear the word of the Lord. That's what we say to him, Mike. I tell my son in conversations daily, the Lord rules this, the Lord rules that. He knows who my Lord is. He's Lord of all. There it is. There it is, right there where we led. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Another scripture that was given to us Friday night. Our great and all-wise God sees fit for sinners to preach to sinners about the one who saves sinners. How do I get my loved one to know this Lord? Tell them. Tell them who the Lord is. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Read on, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. I know who the Lord is because he's given me the faith to believe him. I know who the true and living God is because he has come into my heart and made that his temple, his place of residence. He's taken out the Master John and shown me who the true Master is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Just as the Lord had said it would, isn't it?
Yes.
And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Who is it that gives life? Are these bones just getting up and saying, you know, I'm going to make a decision today. I'm going to go down there to the church. I'm going to climb into that pool and get baptized. I'm going to pray a little prayer at the beginning. No. God is doing it all.
Yes, only the Lord.
I love that. I love that with everything about me. God is doing it all. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and exceeded an exceeding great army. And then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people. God has a people that he calls my people, my elect, my chosen. We're part of a particular people who belong to Jesus because he bought us and paid for us with his own precious blood. O Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. Oh, my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place in you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God sends his messengers to fetch those who were once dead. You want to bring someone to Christ? You want to bring your children to Christ? You want to bring your loved one to Christ? Then tell them about who he is. He's God Almighty, the God-man, equal with the Father in every way, perfect and holy. He knew no sin at all. In today's world, we have to dispute this other Jesus by telling our loved ones who the true and living God is. He's not sitting around waiting for you. I have shared this with my granddaughter. You've seen her here. Her husband believes, I think. And she's not bashful to say that she doesn't. But she's heard me say this more than once. When God's ready for you, you're going to come. And she's laid that to heart. Don't worry, Grandpa. When God's ready, I'll be there. You want to bring your loved ones to Christ? Tell them about why he became flesh. Why did God lower himself, put his glory aside for a moment, and become flesh? Because there's no other way. The only way to satisfy God's judgment for your and my sins is perfect blood. We can shed our blood all day long for the rest of eternity, and it would do no good. But perfect blood was shed for you and I. You want to bring your children, your loved ones to Christ, and tell them about what he accomplished. He saved us from our sins. There is now no condemnation. That means no judgment can be brought to those who are in Christ. Judgment was already brought. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and was judged. He was made sin. Do you understand what that means? We may not comprehend how, but that means the perfect Lamb of God at least had the sins of men put on him. He bore our sins in his body. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, because it was the only way. It was the only way God's justice could be met. You want to bring one of your loved ones to Christ and tell them what he is doing this very moment. He's sitting on his throne. The grave couldn't hold him. He was raised again for our justification. We are justified in him, just as if I'd never sinned. I know that's hard for us to see. We're still in this flesh. And every one of us will walk out these doors and forget this very thing for at least a moment, and go about our way in the world and do what we do, because that's what we do. But the day is coming. A day is coming when our intercessor, who sits on his throne right now, says, I paid for that one. My blood was shed for this one.
Amen.
they're mine, and they'll spend eternity with me. In Ephesians 1 verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You want to bring your loved ones to Christ? They need to hear the word of truth. They need to hear the word of truth. The gospel of their salvation, in whom also they have believed, he received, they will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, you want to bring one to Christ and tell them the truth about him. He's not some wimpy imaginary thing waiting for you to do something. He's the sovereign ruler over all things. All that is in Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. When you stop to think of those words the Lord inspired Paul to pen to the Romans, doesn't it make your heart just glow out? Our God has mercy on some. In the 8th chapter, verse 31 of Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Yes.
There's true peace.
Yes.
You want peace in this world? Right there. How shall he not freely give us all things? If God has revealed to a sinner his true standing before the Almighty, then the words penned that I just read are good news indeed.
Yes.
Good news, the gospel. Bring your loved ones if they will come. Maybe. Maybe God has sent you to fetch them.
Yes, no doubt.
If he does, he'll send it with power. And as you speak of who the true and living God is to those around you and those that love you, God will make it effectual with his power in the hearts of his people. Bring your loved ones. If so, if he has sent you to fetch them, if so, then they will come, for God has the power to bring them. He makes us willing in the day of his power. Amen.
Amen.